And that's what we're discovering through Hebrews 11. And the question this morning is not so much what is faith. I think that's been defined for us through the beginning of Hebrews, and I'm going to remind you of that in a moment. But I think the question today is, what does God think about our faith? You know, I would kind of guess we have an opinion about our faith, but what does God really think about our faith? We've defined faith so far in this way. Faith is a foundation of hope and a conviction of a done deal. A new day is coming. In spite of the circumstances of the present moment, and that our vision is limited. Faith in Hebrews 11 is synonymous with hope. Faith can be defined and lived out in different ways, but here in this chapter, it is all about hope. There's a foundation. Even when things fall totally apart, I still can stand upon this foundation. There's something solid under my life in spite of the circumstances of what's going on with me right now, and in spite of the fact that I may not see what the finished product is. I know that I know that I know that it's an accomplished thing. The new day is coming. I know it, I know it, I know it, in spite of present reality. That's what faith is, and the way it's being worked out through these examples in Hebrews 11. With that type of faith, with that type of hope, it is possible to please God. I know some of us really labor under the thought, I don't know if I really can please God. And one of the things I love about reading the Message Bible, I just love some of the terminology, and one of them is this. God's not looking for us to do. And in many ways, we have reduced Christianity to the doing of things. God's looking for us to respond to what He's done. He's looking for a response to what He's done. Now, out of that response, there comes a lot of doing, but it's for a whole different reason. It is possible to please God. And it comes down to this, we believe that He is. He exists. And we believe that He compensates those that seek Him. God does have there's a payday. Now tomorrow, all of us are going to go to work, most of us, I guess. And most of us go to work with an expectation at the end of the week, or the end of 2 weeks, we're going to get a paycheck. Now, if we don't get a paycheck, that's really discouraging, right? It's really comparable. God is, I want you to, you know, show up to work tomorrow, and there's going to be a payday coming. Now, when I use that analogy, I don't want to paint this picture that Christianity is all about pie in the sky. I don't believe that. I believe Christianity is all about the present moment. But that present moment is connected with a future. So it's really this both and. Again, within faith, I see a mistake. Either we emphasize the now or we emphasize the later. Within the vineyard, one of the kind of the book about our history is titled The Quest for the Radical Middle. And so, if again, within what we believe, we don't accept it's either or. We accept it's both and. We have a faith with a future hope, but that future hope infects the present. What I determine to do today is based upon the future. It's both and. It's not one over the other. Now, if you could begin to plug that into some practical things, I thought about guys, gals that aren't married. One of the reasons that you practice orality when you're not married is because you know there's a future. And that future is so much better than the present moment. And so there's this exchange. I'm not going to give up today what I can get tomorrow. Now, for many of us, we were never brought up to enjoy deferred gratification. All of us have been infected by instant gratification. I want it, and I want it right now in this instant. The Bible does not know about that. The Bible does know about gratification. It is pleasing and gratifying to live in a relationship with God and with each other and to have purpose. But it's not instant. This morning, we're going to take the next step. Listen carefully. Hebrews 11. Each one of these people of faith, that would be Noah and Abraham and Sarah. Notice, they died not yet having in hand what was promised. See, they deferred their gratification all the way through life. They didn't get it. They didn't get it in this life. And yet, they still believed. So often, we expect this instant gratification, this instant answer from God, and when we don't give it, we stop believing. That's not faith. These are the people that are showing us this is how faith works. All these people, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, they died. They lived their entire life without having in hand what was promised, but they still believed. That's faith. That's what faith is. And that is gutsy, and that's daily. It's real. How'd they do it? How'd they do it? Because we need to learn to do it. They saw it way off in a distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they're looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Now, I'd love you to read that and read it again and read it again and read it again. This is one of the greatest paragraphs in the Bible. We don't have time for us to keep doing that, so I'll just tell you some things. Let me tell you again, defining faith. This chapter is showing us how relationship with God works. It worked for Noah and Abraham and Sarah. It worked for Abel and Enoch. It's going to work for us. This is how it works. Faith is not having in hand now what God promises. Think about that. Faith is not having in hand right now what God promises. Remember what I said? We make two mistakes. We either demand it now or we put it off totally to later. Where this crosses that bridge is, I don't have to have it in my hand right now, and yet I know it's coming. Because I don't have what God promised in my hand right now, I don't stop believing. A matter of fact, it deepens my trust in Him. It deepens the conviction that I know, that I know, that I know that with God there is a payday. My God compensates, and He'll never fail, even if it's not today. Faith is accepting the fact that we are transients in this present age. We're just passing through. Now, it doesn't make the value of living now less important. Again, I don't believe that this is just us preparing for the next life. I don't buy that because the next life has already started. Eternity's already begun. The kingdom has come and it's advancing, and we get to join in that now, not just totally later. But we're passing through to a better age. That better age is coming. And we get tastes of it. We get installments of it now. And that just motivates us to keep going. You think things are going well in your life right now? It's going to be even better. Because we're just passing through. We're nomadic people. Faith is looking for our true eternal home and moving toward it even when we are homesick. The age that is coming is our true home. As good as what life can be right now with each other, with God, we're not at home yet. And what I love about the idea of being homesick, as we're moving toward what really is a perfect world, we can begin to become homesick. And we can quit. We can say, well, this is as good as it's going to get, God. So I'm just going to camp out here. We can go back. It means we get to make choices. We have a choice to keep going for our preferred future. Or we can stay here. Faith is a confidence of a better place and time prepared by a good God who's ready to welcome us home. Now, Noah experienced it this way. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see, and he acted on what he was told, and the result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. Building a ship without water in view was a crazy thing to do. But Noah believed the warning. And so he began to build a ship. In the present reality of Noah, his family was saved. But can you imagine floating in a boat? Your family's being saved, and everything that you've ever known and everybody that you've ever known is perishing all around you. Can you imagine being in a boat that is rising above this ocean and all of a sudden the land that you've all is gone? And you're in the middle of this ocean? And not knowing where you're going. Again, sometimes we like to kind of dress up the story. I don't think it was that grand being on the ark. That was better than being in the water. But I think it was probably terrifying. And I think it was probably heartbreaking to listen to people in the planet perishing all around you. So you could say that the circumstances of Noah's life were not that grand. But yet he had a foundation to stand on, a foundation of hope, that the sea would recede, that the earth would be repopulated, that the judgment of God would pass. His family was saved. Our planet was saved in many ways. And through that, Noah became intimate with God. Wow. Abraham, by an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in a country promised him, lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on the unseen, an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. Abram, relocate your family. Where, God? I'll show you. Just start walking up the Tigris-Euphrates River. I mean, just start going up the path of the Fertile Crescent. The Fertile Crescent that is fertile just along the river. Everywhere else, it's a desert. I'll tell you, just start moving. And then when you get down to the land promised, can't really build a house here yet, so just kind of live in a tent. But this is going to be your home. Again, the promise is wonderful. But the reality of getting to the is not so grand. Would you like to walk through Iraq along the Tigris and Euphrates River? Would you like to make your way into Turkey? And then down into Israel? I mean, that was a hard journey. And not knowing where you're going, living in a tent, and yet he saw something. An unseen city. Eternal. Real. And he said, I'm glad to be transient because I know where I'm going. Sarah, by faith, barren Sarah, was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time. And she was. Because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. And that's how it happened. That from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. I love that description. No Cialis in those days. Just dead and shriveled. Amazing. This is an amazing story. I mean, a woman past the childbearing age, you know? 75. And a husband that's 100. Wow. And millions of people. Now it would be billions of people. From that impossible act. Will our faith, these are the questions for us. Will our faith, this foundation of hope, this conviction that a better day is coming in spite of the circumstances of our life and in spite of whether we can see it or not, this limited vision, will our faith save us? Will our faith demonstrate the rightness of believing? It's the right thing to believe in spite of the circumstances of my life. Will our faith enable us to say yes to God's call to travel to the unknown and live as a stranger? Will our faith impregnate us, bringing life from death, impacting millions? Will our faith move God to be proud of us? What does God think of our faith? Is He proud of us? Here's some suggestions. Again, I've hit this every week, but please, please, please take seriously this leap of faith. It worked for these three. It worked for Noah. It worked for Abraham. It worked for Sarah. I'm here to tell you it will work for us. Take a leap of faith. Let faith work for you. Second suggestion. Sometime this week, spend a night in your backyard in a tent. Just as a reminder, we're nomads. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. Here's another one. Weed your garden. And as you're pulling out weeds, just let that be an illustration of being uprooted from this present age. And as you pull those weeds, just ask, you know, how can we become more and more untangled from worldliness? We're all infected with worldliness. How do we untangle ourselves to be this very unique community of people traveling through this age? Then finally, why don't you plant some new flowers and let that illustrate that there is a new day coming. And as the flowers grow and they bloom, just think about hope. Because the new day is brighter than that flower. And it's coming. It's coming. Would you like to stand with me? Father, we want you to be proud of our faith. The opposite of you being proud of our faith is you being ashamed of our faith, and I don't want to settle for that. I would invite you, Holy Spirit, you're really the one in charge of ministry times like this. I would invite you to reveal to us what you think of our faith. We want a faith that saves us. We want a faith that demonstrates the rightness of believing. We want a faith that results in intimacy with God. We want a faith that says yes to your call to travel to the unknown, to be sojourners in this world. We want a faith that impregnates us with life from death, that impacts millions of people for good. We want a faith that moves you, our Father, to be proud of us. And we know that what that faith is really there for the asking. So impart faith to us. A faith that responds to you in the way that Abraham and Sarah and Noah and Abel and Enoch, as they responded to you. Let us be a community that responds to you. Fill us with faith, real faith, gutsy faith, daily faith. And send us now to live our lives based on that